What is up, everybody? We're back. It's Lessons Learned. You know that already. You clicked on it. You don't need us to tell you.
It's not a surprise.
No, not anymore. We're all here. We're ready to go.
I wouldn't say all here.
Well,
yeah.
The three,
just the important members.
All of the three of us are here.
Yeah, exactly. Only the important people, anyways.
The brothers. The two brothers.
The three amigos.
Well, the two brothers are missing.
They're the two brothers. Yeah. They're their own little group.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think they've ever done like anything like adjust the clip or anything, just the two of them.
No. I think they should.
Because they don't like each other.
Yeah, they probably don't want to talk to each other more than they have to.
Probably not. Okay. Well, let's get rolling. Adaptability is what we're going to talk about today. I definitely know it's something these two guys can talk about. Being in the military, you got to learn to be quite adaptable, I'm sure. It's something that I've kind of always been pretty good at, but something I've really had to get good at recently, and we'll talk about that as we move forward here. So, Jared, why don't you start us off? Yeah, you got to fill in for Chris today.
Okay.
Hey-o! What's up, Gabby? Cameo appearance.
Hey!
What's up?
Adaptability. Gabby, go.
Go. She's really mad at me because I ate her pasta that was in the fridge. She apparently made it for a lunch, and I wasn't like 100% sure, and I had no food like the other day. And I was just like, I'll eat the spaghetti. And then she woke up this morning and her lunch was gone, and she had a bad day because of me.
Large oof.
Man, yeah. You don't mess with the food.
No.
I know.
Don't cross that line.
That's the one line you never cross.
Wait. Let's tie this in. Was Gabby so, able to adapt and overcome to the fact that you ate her lunch?
No. This is going to be a perfect example of failing at adapting, is because all she had today was a granola bar and she never had a chance to get anything else.
Oh no.
And so she was just mad at me all day.
Oh no. Oh, Polo's back.
Yeah, she probably got sad.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be alone.
All right.
Lola wanted in.
All right, so Gabby
I also just had to walk
adapt.
Away from
Jared,
that.
Jared, you missed that part. Gabby failed to adapt to, there is a large insect in my room. Okay. I'm going to adapt to that and ignore it.
Try not to get stressed out from it.
Yeah. But yeah, so Gabby failed to adapt when Talon ate her lunch. So Jared, let's talk about a good example of adaptability.
Good example of adaptability. So first of all, I think we're constantly just adapting to industrial and technological advances in society. But we usually don't think about that from, you know, in our daily lives. So like one thing that I've dealt with that's very present and real and then like right in front of me is being a part of a new squadron. So I went from an operational squadron to where the job was deploying and flying and, you know, flying missions, to now I'm at a training squadron and the mission is getting people trained up so that they know how to do the job, so that they can accomplish missions and go deploy. So that was a big shift for me, because it kind of goes from like you're only focused on your own actions, really. And then now you have all these other people that you're teaching and that you have to supervise and make sure that you have to be accountable for them, you know? So that's a huge shift for me, because I had never been an outgoing person. I had never really taught anyone before. And it really forced me to make sure that I got all my knowledge in check. And then once, you know, even though I had my knowledge in check, I didn't know how to teach, or like, I didn't know how to show someone how to take that knowledge and put it into practice with the system, with troubleshooting and maintenance and all that stuff. So that was a huge thing for me.
Yeah, sometimes and even, you just get thrown into these things too, where it's like, yeah, that kind of ties in. I'll talk about it later, but that kind of ties into what I'm going to talk about, where it's just like, you just get thrown into doing something and you're just expected to do it. Like, you got to figure it out on your own. Like, you're told to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And that happens all the time in the military. You know, okay, this person had to come off this deployment. Like, hey, you, Chris, go jump on that deployment. And you're like, okay, well, I got to make sure that I know what we're looking for out there. I mean, for our job, it doesn't really change a whole lot. But, you know, for like a linguist or an operator or something, you know, they have to learn the standard operating procedures for different locations and everything. And it's not even like that technical. It can be something as little as like my schedule changes, you know? So I have to show up to work at a different time. I have to leave at a different time, and I have to fly, you know, once or twice a week, where before I was flying like once every other week. And then even so, like, there's so much to talk about. There's maybe a little too much to talk about, but I think it's
too much.
yeah, we have. I mean, we used to fly out of our local airbase, and then now we have to travel. You know, we have to take a 50-minute bus ride.
Yeah.
So that requires us to get up even earlier and then get home even later. So there are too many examples, actually.
Right.
For me to talk about.
Well, to build off that specific one real quick, that's kind of like, it's something I've brought up in previous episodes where we've talked about just, you know, life in general. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. Like, I'm sure you never planned on having to, you know, drive an extra half an hour to go fly. But it's just it's just something that happened. And now you have to, you know, how are you going to let that affect you? That's the thing. Like, how are you going to adapt to it? Are you going to, you know, adapt well and make the changes you have to make in order to get it done? Or are you going to adapt poorly and end up being late all the time? Which, you know, especially for now, for you who is in a leadership position, it's not going to look good.
Yeah. And there are people who are complainers. whenever I say that, I think of like the Joker. When he's talking about complainers, he talks about the squealers.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, there are people that they get thrown into a situation, they just complain about everything. You know, when we have to drive 50 extra minutes to work to go fly, I could complain about that, but it's not going to change anything. So what I can do, and what Talon and Chris can do, we can wake up earlier, you know, just put it into our schedule before we get used to it. Like, make sure we take note of it, the changes that we're going to have to make, and just make those changes. I don't know. Like,
you can always embrace the suck
and just make a plan and execute it.
You can look at the bright side of, like, even though it's not the greatest thing either, like that 50 extra minutes of drive time that you have to put between like each time that you fly or whatever. I mean, you could just also be like, hey, it's 50 minutes. I could just take a little nap on the bus.
Listen to Lessons Learned podcast.
Yeah. Watch some YouTube videos. Relax a little bit before your flight.
You know what else?
Randy's got
a
plug.
We're going to get this out of the way quick. You could listen to Audible. And if you check out the link down below in the description, you can listen to Audible for free for 30 days. So go click that link. Check it out. Listen to all your favorite books. Is it on tape? Do you call it book on tape anymore? Like, is that, do you still say that?
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I don't know.
Oh,
downloadable media.
I guess. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I feel like book on tape streamable media flows, but sure. Okay.
Does.
Downloadable media book thing. Go do it. Anyway, back to Jared's story. Go for it.
Also, I really like your example of you changing your squadron. I mean, other people can put this into perspective, like changing workplaces and something, because you also had to leave people that you've been working with for years. And maybe you recognize some people when you moved over, but it's a lot of new people. And the fact alone that you're an introvert, and to put it into perspective for people, when for our job, when we are teaching, when we're instructing people, it's completely one-on-one. It's not going to be just a classroom setting. Like, we can all, for the most part, through our lives, we've probably done some form of public speaking, whether it be in like school or something. We all know, like, we can get up there, we have all those methods, even if it gives you anxiety, maybe ignore the people in front of you, but you can talk for a bit and get it over with. But when you're teaching someone one-on-one and you're stuck on a plane with them for hours at a time, one, like Jared said, you really have to teach them every little aspect that you know. You really have to let them pick your brain, and even you have to give them breaks. You have to have moments when they're like, they're still your student, but like, you're probably gonna, since it's such a long flight sometimes, you're probably gonna ask them other things about just their day-to-day life. Like, hey, I want to know a little bit about you, because we were stuck on this plane for like 6 hours together, and I can't just talk about plane stuff for 6 hours. So it can really get people out of their comfort zone. And I know when I was going through like instructor training and everything, that really affected me, because I'm an introvert, and it's really hard to manage this person for multiple hours at a time and like come up with a way to spread that time apart and everything. It's really hard doing one-on-one teaching. It can be difficult. So
yeah, and the one last point I'll make is changes in leadership roles too. So I was just at a mentorship luncheon yesterday, and the girl running it, she had a little spiel she went through before we all started, and she was speaking to us NCOs, and she said one of the hardest transitions for us is transitioning from that airmanship mentality and like that airmanship friend group to being an NCO, being a leader, and not really being a part of that E4 mafia, you know? And that's huge. And that was a great point for her to make, because you might still have friends. I mean, you're going to have friends who are in a lower position than you, and you can't have the same conversations, at least not at work professionally. So that was a huge switch for us. And sometimes you have to, it's not going to be comfortable. I think, you know, growth comes out of discomfort and pain sometimes, you know, so suck it up and like, see what I mean, personally, I don't know. I can't really coddle this whole subject too much. Because it's pretty cut and dry for me. I don't know about you guys, if you have more to add to that, but for me, it's just like, understand what you need to do and what changes you need to make, and
right.
Do
that's,
it.
That's definitely a mentality, because I know people who aren't like that, who have a really hard time adapting to, you know, a new way of doing things, where it's like, it's not as simple for them in their mind as being like, okay, well, this is how we're going to do it now.
Yeah.
I know a lot of
people. The world's not going to adapt to you. The exactly. systems that are in place are not going to adapt to you. So
exactly.
the quicker you make that change and understand that, the better.
Yeah. And I'll even admit that there's times where it's usually times where I feel like the way that I do something works better. I have a hard time adapting, like if somebody wants me to do something a different way, that's really the only time I struggle with adaptability, where it's like, oh my god, I know this way of doing this is so much easier, but this person wants me to do it this way, and that sucks because it's harder, it's more time consuming, and you know, it's just like, it would happen all the time. My last job, where it's like they would come up with some system of how we wanted to do it, and I'm like, it'd be like this whole process, and I'd say, well, why don't we just do this and this? It's so much quicker and so much easier, and it gets you to the same point. And they would say, well, it's just how the company wants us to do it. So it sucks because you have to do it that way, even though you know there's a better way to do it.
Yeah. And if that's the case, sorry, if that's the case, I mean, for us, you can talk to someone who is in control of those like SOPs, those standard operating procedures, and those can be changed. Yeah. But when you first show up, you can't just say, we're going to change all this, because you're going to upset a lot of people. And if you upset a lot of people, they aren't going to like you. And if they don't like you, they aren't going to trust you. Right. You aren't going to work together well, and then the system's just going to be broken because there's that hitch.
Yeah.
In there.
And I think that's a spot where good communication comes into play again. It's something that we've talked about a lot in the past, but being able to relay that in a respectable manner, because a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of times the case ends up being that the people who are making these decisions are not the people who actually have to do the work. So on paper, something that someone's doing, they might think, oh, this is a great way to do this. But then they show that to the person who is actually the one who's doing it. And they're like, no, not really the best way to do that.
it hurts my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does. And that's why I think I personally have a hard time adapting when that's the case. But that's where good communication comes into play, where you can talk to that person and say, hey, listen, you know, like, I think there's a better way we can do this. Let me just try and explain my side of it. And then you hope that they listen to you. And then if, you know, if they're not willing to adapt, then unfortunately that means you have to adapt to it.
Wow. Yeah. I think we said adapt so many times this episode.
Yeah, we definitely.
Maybe we should put a counter or something.
Yep. Well, now only having three of us, we have a lot of blank space on either side. I'm seeing we could totally put a counter.
if you count the amount of times we say adapt or adaptability in this episode, then you get a t-shirt.
You get a t-shirt.
A large. That's it. That's all we have.
I mean, left. I think we only have smalls
only
left.
Have or so super small.
Yeah.
You can put it on your cat more. Or something.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
Right?
I don't know how that'd be so great. Get like dog and cat shirts for us.
I mean,
dude, shirt idea.
Are small enough you could probably put them on the animals.
Shirt idea. Maybe not now or maybe in the future. We should have jerseys. So it'll be like lessons learned, Rumsey with like a little nickname or something.
That'd be
a call sign. I don't know. That would be
cool. You can have a random number, whatever your favorite number is.
Choose your team.
This is why we need Chris here.
Yeah.
Okay. We can cut that out. Back on track.
But yeah, so I think it speaks a lot toward communication, and it also, but again, that speaks a lot to you as a person. Now, you've tried your hand in saying that I think there's a better way we can do this. They said no, this is how we're going to do it. How are you going to react to that situation? That's where it boils down to. Are you going to take it in stride, and even though it sucks, you still do it because you got to do it? Or, you know, are you going to choose to complain about it? Are you going to choose to let that situation make you miserable?
Yeah, put the situation in your control. That's what you have power over, of how you're going to react to it. You don't have any power of, like, your boss or whoever, if they're going to accept or if they're going to adapt in the way that you want. But at least, like, if you have to do something, how are you going to adapt to it? How are you going to be affected by it? That's what you have control over.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have a good example of this. I mean, we've kind of talked about, like, Jared's already talked about his military stories. I have military stories, too. When we get deployed, it's nothing but adapting constantly. Of course, when someone's getting deployed, you have to be used to long flights, going to on the other side of the world. You're going to another country, another culture. You're going to be working from there. You're meeting new people. There's a lot of adapting. But at the very least, normally there's some structure to it. And normally you have like some timelines. Like we know kind of like when we're getting there, when we're leaving normally. But that's not always the case. And I know for me, there's been multiple times when it's like, it's going to be a 2-month deployment. And then that 2-month deployment turns into a 3-month deployment.
Like what happened to
Chris.
And
then you're going to be leaving on Monday. Oh, wait, sorry. You're leaving now on like Friday. Oh, the jet's broken. Now you're leaving on Sunday. Jet's still broken. Okay, now it's Wednesday. Okay, I've just been not doing anything for 2 months. That's cool. It's constant adapting. And like the hardest part sometimes is when other people beyond just yourself is being affected by it too. That's a really hard part. Like for that example, let alone am I adapting because I'm staying in a place that I wasn't expecting longer than expected. Yeah. But now it's just like every couple of days, it's like I'm telling my family, oh yeah, I'll be back in like a couple of days. Oh, now it's going to be another couple of days and another couple of days. So it's a lot of adapting, and it's sometimes, and it's good to show how strong you are too, because if you're able to adapt to a certain situation, other people can adapt to that situation as well. You don't want to all be in that mindset of, yeah, this sucks, and just be grumpy and mad about it. But as long as that one person can be positive about it and try and work through it, I think that really helps bring other people up as well.
Yeah, and I mean, even to add to that, like if you're in Japan, you know, you're 14 hours ahead of your family here in central US. So it's like you have to adapt, you know, they have to wake up at 6 or 7 a.m. to have a phone call with you. So everyone's adapting.
Yeah. Yeah. I've made plenty of phone calls at 3 in the morning before.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
So something that I've had recently, so you guys know, I'm sure many of you who've been listening already know that I'm switching the flip a little bit here. That was not very organic, but switching the flip.
That's fine.
Switching the flip.
So a lot of you know I changed careers recently. So that this has been a ton of adapting because I'm going into a career that essentially I know nothing about. I mean, I know some now. I've been working there about a month and a half. But, you know, I knew nothing really going into the job. I left a job that I had been at for almost 5 years. Completely changed career fields. Went from physical therapy to working for a railroad. So that's a big change. My commute tripled. Or more, actually.
Tripled.
My commute tripled if my commute was bad that day. So it probably more like quadrupled.
Yeah, actually, I guess my commute did. Yeah. My commute like almost quadrupled as well.
Yeah. So my commute quadrupled. I'm going into this job where I essentially know nothing about it, which is kind of a reason why they hired me, but for other reasons as well, because they could teach me the way they want to.
It's the
which
beard.
Is good. But then at the same time, there's a lot of times where they're talking about stuff and I'm like, I don't know. I have not the slightest clue what you're talking about. So everything pretty much has to get explained to me. But what does seem to happen a lot that's forced me to be adaptable and to kind of like have to be able to figure stuff out on my own is they'll set me up with a project and like I'm doing a lot of mechanic work. I'm working on locomotives. I'm working on train cars. And they'll be like, oh yeah, you do this, 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 and this. Okay, you got it. Cool. I'll see you in a little bit. And they walk away, and you're like, you're like, what?
Can you write that down?
Yeah,
I'm in danger.
Yeah. So like, and I'm in danger because a lot of it is very dangerous work, or like work where you could be putting somebody else in danger if you mess up. So
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of like asking questions. There's a lot of doing research on my own. There's a lot of figuring stuff out on my own. But, and here's where it gets kind of cool. When you start doing that and you start having to kind of figure out stuff like that on your own, and now whether it's like mechanical stuff or if it's working on the computer or commuting or like whatever the case may be, because this is interchangeable to anything, it's cool how you notice how that affects you outside of work, like how that mindset affects you. So like an example I had the other day, like I was working on locomotives all week last week, and then I was home over the weekend. We were using our wood chipper and something went wrong with it, and like I didn't even think about it. I just started taking it apart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, this must go here, this goes here, and I fixed it. Just like with no knowledge or anything of it, I just kind of like dove into it and fixed it. And I thought to myself, like a month and a half ago, I would have been like watching YouTube videos and Googling stuff. And today I just literally dove into it, took it apart, found the problem, put it back together. So it's really cool how, you know, learning that adaptability can give you so many more skills in your everyday life
and confidence.
Right. And confidence. Yeah. And that was something we talked about when we went away to Montana and kind of like not planning anything, how being adaptable was so important because we were away from home. We had hardly any phone service. We had a hard time even pulling up like Google Maps in a place where we had no idea where we were or where anything was. We had nowhere to sleep, nowhere to stay, and we had to just kind of figure it out on our own. And then you kind of, you do that and you succeed, and then you come home and you realize you almost kind of do the same thing, you know, now that you know you can do it. It like, it brings a level of confidence, and it gives you new skills and new abilities when you're able to adapt to situations. And it's like Jared said, you don't grow from being in comfort zones. Like it's the pain, it's the hurt, it's the uncomfortable.
It's the engineer telling you, hey, this is how you do this. All right, I'll see you later.
Yeah. it's the unsure situations that you grow and you learn from. And then when you see that start to manifest in like your day-to-day life, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My voice cracked there for a second.
Yeah. I totally wasn't laughing.
Yeah, it's being thrown into a leadership role. It's being thrown into that teacher mode. It's being told to give a speech or a presentation and then sweating bullets, figuring out how to do it. And yeah, after it's over, you're like, oh, well, this wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
I think
that's the most important part too, is like, yes, adapting super important, but even if you're having a difficult time adapting, the best part is knowing that it's going to be over at some point. Like there, you're going to have a moment where you're going to like it's going to be over. You're going to have a moment to stop, think about it, take a breather. Everything comes to an end. So it's not like you might be struggling adapting now, but the day's going to end. You're going to have you're going to be able to go to sleep. You're going to, even if you have to do it the next day, you had time to think about it and be prepared for it. So you always have that. You always have breaks, and you always have something's always going to end. So
yeah, that's a great point. And I like that saying a lot. It sounds kind of like if you're in a good place, if you're on an emotional high of that hedonic treadmill of life, then that might sound like a depressing phrase. Everything comes to an end. But someone I know, they actually told me about it, where they heard that. And it was from one of their drill instructors when they were just going through the ringer. Their drill instructor said, hey, you know, everything comes to an end. The good times, the bad times. You know, when they were in that bad time, that was that gave them a little bit of peace.
Yeah, that happened to me. And when we were in survival school, like a couple days in, I'm like out of food, I'm cold, I'm miserable. I'm just like, I only got a couple more days of this. Yeah. It's not gonna be for the rest of my life. It's just a couple more days, then I can go to my nice warm hotel room and call it good. Just a couple more days, I can get through a couple more days.
Yeah, don't have to eat any more MREs. Don't have to drink any more pine tree tea.
I know. Your water full of dirt. I love it.
I think that kind of stuff can also speak to the strength of your own spirit as well, because when you think about it, like, I think everyone is way more capable of anything than they think they are.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you say, oh, I can't do that, until you're thrown into that situation and you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the time, you know, barring something where it's like, you know, obviously if they threw me in a courtroom and said, defend this murderer, and, you know, yeah, sure, I'm not going to be able to do that. But, you know, in most like everyday real life situations, if you get thrown into something, I would say a majority of the time you're going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just me. That's anyone. Like, you're way more capable than you think you are. I mean, if you asked me before we went on that vacation, you know, do you think you can go out to the Midwest and just wing it and not plan anything and you'll be good? I would have been like, no. But
yeah,
we did, and we did it, and it worked out, and it was fine. And like, there's a confidence that comes from that, and there's a, you know, there's like a sense of victory that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think just take every situation with a grain of salt. Don't panic. That doesn't help anyone.
Mm-hmm. No.
Don't panic. If the situation's not as bad as you think it is. I've been dealing with some like anxiety lately and everything. Like the best advice that I've had is just like realize what's going on around you. Realize you're not actually in danger, because your body does go through those times of like fight or flight and everything, because we are animals at the end of the day. But you just have to, you can't let your mind get in the way of things, and you just have to know that I'm not actually in danger, and I just have to get through this. I mean, we are animals, we are survivors, so
yeah,
that's all it takes.
Yeah,
I got a good example. This was a fun one. So last week I did my first bit of like training for train crew at work, and one of the things that we have to do often is get on and off of moving trains.
So, like, fun.
What?
Yeah, that's the thing. It sounds like fun until you have to do it. And
I've always seen that in movies, and I'm like, how are they struggling with this? It looks, I would do that so easily.
Yeah. Well, the first time you do it, it's like, because you realize how dangerous what you're doing is.
Mm.
Like,
oh,
you say you can do it, but even a train moving 10 miles an hour, even a train moving 1 mile an hour is going to mess you up.
Sketchy.
Yeah.
Like if you're
like, I don't want my leg to get cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're having to run and you just trip, just a simple mistake, you tripping or something, or you not being able to grab onto the train at the right moment.
Yeah
that could literally mean losing a limb or losing your life.
Right. Which they do teach us, like, how you're supposed to do it. Like, there is a way to do it. There's a theory behind it, and it's pretty sound as far as, like, why you get on and off certain ways. But even just doing it, like, I remember, so getting on the first time wasn't bad, but it was getting off. Because you're pretty high. You gotta think, you're pretty high up off the ground. Like, you're probably 3 feet off the ground. 2-3 feet off the ground at that point when you're on the ladder. And then you got to step down onto uneven ground and rocks, because you're on what's called ballast. So it's like 1-inch stone that you're stepping down onto that's not even. And you're moving. We were going, I would say, probably between 8 and 10 miles an hour. So then you got to step down. Like, there's a lot going on. I remember looking down at the ground the first time I had to get off, and I was just like, this just got real. I had like a moment of this just got real. Like, I'm hanging on the ladder, and I looked down, and I saw the ground moving, and I was like, whoa, this sucks all of a sudden. But again, you adapt, you get used to it, and I was doing it the other day, like, it was nothing.
There you go.
But, wow. You know, those first few times, man, it was like, it's sketchy. And sometimes that's life. First time you gotta do something, it's not always the best, but you'll make the best of it, and you'll get there, and it'll be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you can be like a real, real hobo traveler now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to. I mean, like you said, they're going like 10 miles per hour. I mean, on the road, I think trains go quite a bit faster, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. I mean, I have a ton more examples, but
I would say unless anybody else has anything specific.
Yeah, I think we could.
Life's nothing but adapting. So yeah, we could be talking about this for hours.
Yeah.
For hours.
So, okay. So what would you guys say are your key takeaways, like your key points, personally for you? Like for me, it would be, you know, you have to control what you can control when you're thrown into a situation where you're forced to adapt. So, like, figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing, that what you have to do, and the changes that you have to make, and implement them and take action.
Yeah. I'd say my biggest takeaway is you need to stop and ask yourself, how are you going to let this situation affect you?
Yeah.
That's a good one. And then for me, I would just say, I think it's important to know and just to note to yourself how are you going to grow from that situation? How, like, the next time that you do it, how are you going to be better about it that time and the time after that?
Yeah.
And I love that.
Take some lessons learned.
I think step by step, we just went full circle with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that seems like a good spot to end. So, hope you guys took something away from this today. I hope if you're having a hard time adapting to a situation that you're in right now, our words might help you adapt better to it in the future or make some changes that will help you. This has been fun. This is
and
hard.
This has been
Chris does this usually. I don't like doing this.
And you're this adapting. Has been lessons learned.
Yes, I'm adapting to doing the outro. Chris is so bear with me whilst I adapt to doing the outro. Okay, we good with that? We good with that, audience? Just give me a couple episodes to adapt. All right.
Just give them some grace. So.
There's one.
Yeah.
Adapting takes time. I didn't get it on my first try, but I will get it next time. I
there
promise.
You go.
So now, Jared, take it away. Take us out.
Well, y'all, this has been Lessons Learned. Welcome to season 3. We're glad to have you here. And if you're just now tuning in for the first time, we have a ton of other videos on our YouTube. You can check us out on Instagram and where else? I mean, Spotify,
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. Just look up Lessons Learned Media and you can find us. So find us and
we're everywhere.
Like, comment, subscribe, send us DMs. Let us know what you thought of the video. Let us know what you thought of the episode if you're not watching video. And
let us know
I mean,
what
we
you
can
want
cover,
to hear us talk about.
Yeah, we can cover whatever topics you want us to. We'll talk about it. And even if you have your own personal situation that you're going through, you can give us like a brief summary and we can talk about it on the show. And we don't even have to mention your name or anything. Yeah. And we would love to talk to you about it and discuss it between us. So until next time, we will
see ya.
See ya.